Hello. It is March 14th, 2016. We're here in wonderful North Hollywood Police Station, bailing Dallas Taylor out of jail for being too spiritual. And I'd like to hear what he's got to say for himself.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So nice to see gods and goddesses in one room. I hope that that is finally sinking into your subconscious mind where you don't even have to think about it, that it pops right to the top of your mind whenever you have difficulty in what you're doing or thinking all day long. I have an affirmation that I do constantly during the day, and that is I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. Well, I love that one. So we use these things. Now, tonight we're going to talk about core beliefs. So many people have probably never heard of core beliefs, or what is a core belief? A core belief comes from the core of you, which we do in exercise and all, we call this the core. These are core beliefs that are guiding your life. Some people call them guiding beliefs. But it's what you have in the inside that you're thinking. If you don't get rid of your core belief or change your core belief, it doesn't matter what else you're thinking. You have to. Now, what do we mean by that? How many people still think it's a dog-eat-dog world?
That is what?
Our dog-eat-dog world. You hear that all the time still. If you have that, that's a core belief. If you think it, if the world's out there to get you, it's going to get you. It all comes from that core belief, from that thinking. So you can plaster anything on top of it you want, but the core belief keeps living. And what we want to do is uproot those core beliefs and get rid of them and look at them and say, oh, I made a mistake here. I was thinking the wrong thing. And that's all that's about, is changing your core beliefs. So we're going to try to do that. And those core beliefs, by the way, attract things. And that takes us right back to Emmett Fox and the mental equivalent. If you think it's a dog-eat-dog world, you're going to attract that into you. That's going to be what's going on. You can make tons of money, you can do all the stuff, but the belief keeps going that it's a dog-eat-dog world. I have many women who call me, and their core belief, which I don't tell them, is, well, I just met another man that's horrible, because they think that all men are horrible, that there's no good men left anymore. And then they go out and date and so forth, and they come back disgusted because the man didn't live up to what they wanted. Well, he's never going to live up if that's your core belief, you see, that men are that way. But we have these. That's that whole idea of becoming a puppet to your conditioning. How many people think that a mother-in-law is a bad person? She's always meddling and so forth. See, that's a core belief, and we bolster that. The outside world always bolsters that one, because I think they can get a laugh out of my mother-in-law is mean and rotten and hateful. And if you have that as your core belief, what do you think you're going to attract into your life? A mother-in-law that's mean, you see? And we don't want to attract that stuff into our life. So we look at our life and we say, now what am I thinking that is causing this reality? Because we are creators, and we are creating. And this mind that we have, think of it as a manufacturing plant. It'll manufacture anything you think. That's what it does. It does. So you want to think the right thought. You want your life to be what you want it to be, not some haphazard occurrence that's going on. Many people say, oh, that's the way the world works, you see. what we talked last week about being unlucky. Many people think they're unlucky. Well, you can't go through life thinking you're unlucky and not be unlucky. Because when you make those statements, your mind proves it to you. It has to. That's the way it works. If it didn't work that way, we'd all be in mental hospitals because things would go crazy and we wouldn't know. See? So, what is going on in your thinking deep down, or what we call our core? And that's what's controlling our life. All those little core beliefs, and we can get rid of those core beliefs all the time. You see? How many people think, oh, they always get everything. You hear that expression? That's a core belief that somebody else is getting it and you're not. So you have to know that this thing we call God does not show favorites. That what God can do for one, God can do for all. You know, there's no such thing as the chosen people. Everyone is chosen. So, you know, that's the same way with all the people who want love, but they don't think they can get love because they think, what? They're unlovable. That's why, you know, we did worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You have to make those your core beliefs. And it may take time for that to sink in because you're not used to it. And you heard from Mahai, from your parents, the other people, what you were and what you weren't. You're a bad boy. You see? We don't want that as a core belief, that you're a bad boy or a bad girl. We want to change those core beliefs. But we're taught by the world and by the people we're around all these things, and we take them in thinking they're true. And we take them in when we're younger because we think older people know a lot. Some older people know a great deal. And some older people know absolutely nothing. They have never learned. You know, they just didn't pick up on what was going on around them. So their core belief keeps running their life for them. But if you want to change anything in your life, you have to see, what am I thinking? Deep down, what am I thinking? And then start to uproot that. So there are all kinds of core beliefs that people have. Men are mean. Men are hateful. Women are devious, you know. These are, who make this stuff up? That outside world, though, loves to tell you all that stuff. And if you watch, of course, soap operas and so forth, you get that all the time. What's another core belief that the media always wants to tell you? You're falling apart. There's something wrong with you. You have to take this pill, you say. You have to make your core belief that this thing that we call God is operating in, as, and through you, and that you have perfect health, that you always are being returned to perfect health, to perfect well-being. That is a core belief. And when you keep that core belief, it keeps going. I told you people in my life, I've never had a headache. And of course, I make that my core belief now. I affirm that all the time. I don't get headaches. Because I grew up in a family, my mother never had a headache. We never had aspirin in the house or any of those things. So that helped to me, that type of, and that became a core belief, you see. And that's what we do with these things. We make them into the guiding belief, what we're doing in life, you see. So we can change any of the core beliefs. We can change them. We have that wonderful power to be able to change anything and not get stuck with it. But first, we have to recognize what we're thinking, what is going on. You see, and once we pinpoint that, we can change it. I said, yes, we can change it by just doing affirmations all day long so that they sink down, so that you get them in to your being, you see. Everything in this teaching has to be coming from the center. It has to be in every fiber of your being. There's no, you know, you can't do 98%. You have to be 100% in this. And then you will be able to control your life situation. This is a wonderful thing. We've been given a wonderful opportunity to live here on this beautiful planet and to learn from this beautiful planet. And we should take advantage of it. Take advantage of this life. It's wonderful. And see that you can do all these things, that you are a powerful human being. And this is what we want to learn, and we want to associate with people who think this way. You see, I run into people every once in a while. I have no idea where their thinking is, but it's a place I don't want to be, and nor do I want to discuss it. And I often say to them, I don't discuss things like that because I don't want that in my body, and I don't want it in my thinking. Just don't want it. I think I told you the story about Maya Angelou. If somebody was in her house and they said negativity, she asked them to leave. And she said, I don't want the negativity in the walls of my home. I don't want that negativity. And you, I'm sure by now, especially I think you, Christine, when you go to look at places to sell, you can tell what the energy is in that place, if it's a good energy or bad energy. And the ones with good energy sell faster, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have no idea the energy that's out from everything has an energy to it. Everything. You see? And you have to know that. There was a story about a woman who inherited a beautiful necklace. And she couldn't wear it because every time she wore it, and she discovered that it belonged to a lady who was strangled. That necklace. That's, well, I know the word for it and I'll think of it. Chronometry, I think it's called. A friend of mine, Joyce Reynolds, who I talk about, she taught classes in that where you could get the energy and you knew, you know, where the energy was and what it was. Like if somebody sat on this chair and was mean and hateful all their life, you don't want that chair. You don't want it. It's absorbed all that stuff. So, and you've probably seen that in your line of business. But you should be able to tell energy now. What's good energy and what's bad energy and how do you feel? It's all about how do you feel. When you walk into a place, does it feel good to you? Is the vibrations good? If they're not, don't stay, people. It's not healthy for you. It's not good for you. I think I've told you years ago, the life of the organism is feelings, is always feelings, you see. And we think it's thoughts and this, that, and the other thing, which it is. But the main thing is feelings. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about yourself? And you have to... Sometimes scold myself and then I have to sit down and forgive myself for that. Because when I grew up and so forth, we thought we got something out of scolding ourselves. Dallas, you're a bad person. You could do better than this. You could do that. Da, 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 da. Doesn't help. Only good helps you. Being down on yourself doesn't help. You see? And we think people will say, oh, well, you're conceited. No one's ever said that to me, but I know people think if you get too much, you're conceited. And I don't think anyone can be conceited, well, except maybe Donald Trump. Other than that, do it. Just, you know, be that person, that wonderful person that you know you are. Be nice to people, and it'll work every time. So these are just common things that we take for granted, these core beliefs, and we think that they're real because they've been around for so long, or you've heard them for so long, and you have taken them for granted. You've taken that stuff for granted. Don't take anything for granted. Look at it and say, how do I feel about it? How do I think about this? And what's going on inside of me? And if it's a good feeling, terrific. If it's not, change that feeling. Change it as quickly as you can. And you'll see a difference in your life, because these core beliefs are under the surface always. But they manifest themselves constantly. I grew up in a family that had tons of that stuff going on. Now, here's a good one. My mother used to say, live in hope and die in desperation. Now, that was her core belief. Not a pleasant core belief, is it? Live in hope and die in desperation, meaning what? I never quite figured it out, but it did. But her life was a turmoil. Her life was a turmoil, and we don't want a turmoil in our lives. We want our life to be quiet and calm and collected. All that—this is what we want for ourselves. Some people like trauma. I don't like it at all. I think there's no place for it. You know, hysterics do not get anything from me. I want people, peaceful, quiet people I can handle. The other ones I cannot handle because their minds are someplace else, always someplace else. Also, in my family, my mother and father both, because they were a team, said, we always get a lemon when they buy a car. And they always did. They always did. But back then, I didn't know what was going on. I see all that stuff now in hindsight. And they didn't know what they were doing to themselves. No one told them. You know, they didn't go to church. My parents, they didn't read anything. My mother's literature consisted of the Inquirer. You remember that? Yes. Where she could read about everybody else's problems and so forth, then hers didn't look as bad, I guess. So that was a core belief too, you know. It's just absolutely incredible that we didn't learn this sooner when we were younger, so that we collect all this stuff. You know, when I go to the land of Nod, they've collected so many things in the land of Nod. I'm absolutely surprised that they can get up and be cheery or do anything, because there's always something going wrong with them, you know. And they have no idea that they bring that stuff onto themselves. Because they think, and I do too, I absolutely believe in a God. I absolutely believe in the universe, and I absolutely believe that it responds to you, but not through prayer. It can respond to you through it. It responds to you by matching your thinking, by what you're thinking. It starts to match. And people don't know that. They think that's something different, and it's, you know, that's the idea of God and you, instead of God as you. You see? They separate, and they're delighted to separate like that. That's all core beliefs going on that you have to be able to change them. That's this whole teaching is about mind, about your mind. You can say it's about the mind of God, but you have to realize that you're talking about a mind, not a superhuman being somewhere throwing things at you. God does not do that type of thing. You do that type of thing to your own self, you see. So it's done with the mind, and it's keeping the mind clear and realizing that this is a wonderful world and a wonderful life that you are leading. And it gets better all the time. So when you learn this, it just gets better and better. And all the worry leaves your life. You realize that there's no such thing, and that was who? That was the man Jesus who said, worry will not add a cubit to you. A cubit meaning a measurement. They measure things in cubits. Much I don't happen to know what a cubit is exactly. It's like a hectare. I used to know what a hectare was, but I don't know what that is either anymore. But it's a thing of measurement, you see. So worry, this idea that you have to worry about things, absolutely ridiculous. So many people, and I think I was that when I was younger, if you worried, the outcome would be better. If you didn't worry enough, you can't get a good outcome. That was my take on it, and my philosophy, and my guiding belief for years, you know, that I had to really worry, and then that meant that it was sincere, whatever it meant then. Now I realize that's a bunch of twaddle. We don't need that. We do not need worry. You're not put on this planet. This thing called God did not create you so that you could worry. I mean, this makes sense, doesn't it? And if it were so, why would you worship a God that wanted you to worry? You see? Absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. That reminds me of my friend Doug the Baptist. He thinks as long as he worries, everything is going to come out all right. Well, it never comes out all right for that boy. I mean, God. I think, what have you done now, you know? But he thinks that God is absolutely taking care of him and that he will have a high place in heaven. Well, I said, lots of luck. Keep going. You know, you don't have, you know. We love in our society and in the world, we love to put people in different caste systems. Ourself, you know, they're the upper 10, the 1%, the this. We always are doing that instead of saying everyone is the same. Everyone is the same and everyone has the same chances and opportunities. They don't run into this teaching. And that's a sad thing, you see. If they knew that the mind was doing everything and that their mind was doing everything to them, things would change, wouldn't they? They would change. It doesn't have anything to do with worshiping God. God does not need worship. It has nothing to do with being down on your knees. And since what is the thing that matters most when you're doing anything is sincerity. You must have sincerity. Are you sincere about the whole thing? So work on sincerity and see what happens. It's completely different. Most people don't expect any of their prayers to come true anyway. I'm sure if you ask them, they're doing all that, but they know they don't have faith in that. You see? And you must have that faith. You must build your own faith so that these guiding beliefs can be changed and so that you can put the right guiding beliefs into your thinking, into your mind, and produce what you want with that. because you're always producing after its own kind. Any thought that you have immediately sets up a vibration and tries to find an equivalent to that vibration. So when you're mean and hateful or down on yourself, you're setting up a vibration that's going to come back and get you. Don't do that to yourself when you know you have the power. You have the power to stop it. You have the power to say constantly, I am a divine expression in the mind of God. A divine expression in the mind of God. See what that does? That does something different to you, doesn't it? I love that one. Or, I'm an emissary of light and love. I love to be an emissary of light and love. What do you think we're here for? We're here to represent God. Not to worship God. Not to do all these other crazy things that I hear people say that God does and all. We're here to represent God on this plane of action. That's what we were born for. That's why we're here. And eventually, we will all understand that, accept that, and become that. So that we won't have all this turmoil that we're all experiencing in this world. There's no need for any of this stuff. This planet, although they say it's small, it's large enough to do anything for us. It's large enough to do anything for us. And we must learn to do that for ourselves. I'm reading a book now called The Great Experience. It's about the Marshall Plan. And little things that I said, well, if I'd have known this when I was in high school or college, it would have made a difference. First of all, one of the statistics that absolutely blows my mind, 37 million people died during World War II. 37 million people. 90,000 bridges were destroyed. 18 million horses died. It goes on the list. I never knew all that. I knew it was big, and I knew it was horrible, but I didn't know to that vast extent. So we have to change our core belief there. What is the core belief that keeps us going? You'll hear, well, we have to have a military. You don't run into somebody who says, I don't think we need a military. You run into people who want the military. And it's very difficult because the military employs people, does it not? Keeps people busy. Also keeps them dead, you know. But that's a core belief that we need that. We can change that, you see. We can change that core belief that everyone is divine. Everyone. It doesn't matter what race or color or creed or whatever. You're a divine individual. And you must take that divinity and do something with it. You see, we're afraid of that. You see, it was, I don't know if she said it, but I don't know if it's her words. It was Mary Ann Williamson. We're not afraid of how weak we are, but how powerful. We're afraid of our power. If we really come to the point where we know that we are God, we are creative individuals, and we can do all this, it scares us to death. You see, very few people can live up to that thing, but we can learn to do it, can't we? And we can change the beliefs that we have that will do that for us. It will do that for us. And over the years, you've changed many of your beliefs, have you not? What was the one big belief that you changed in childhood? No Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
No Santa Claus. And we used to believe that, didn't we? We believed it. And then that became a belief, you know. I love Santa Claus, but as a spirit, as a completely different thing. It's a wonderful festive time of year. Is it the birth of Christ? No. Christ was born, I think, in the summer. But they changed it to Christmas because of the church had to recruit the pagans. And one of the pagan big festivals was Christmas. So they had to get in on that and say, well, we'll make that Jesus' birthday, and then they'll be celebrating the birth of Christ and not whatever pagan brought it in to the world. But while we're talking about that, we're coming close to another pagan holiday, aren't we? Big pagan holiday coming. Does anyone know what the pagan holiday is?
Easter.
And I like Easter too. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it came from the pagans. And I happen to like pagans. If you knew any, send them my way. Because they have a different way of thinking about things. They just have joy and so forth. And here, you know, let's color some eggs and do something about this. This is a wonderful thing, and not all this thinking that Jesus came out of the tomb and all this and the other thing, which perhaps he did, perhaps he didn't. It makes no difference. It makes no difference. I think I said this before. In this teaching, Religious Science, we believe in everything that Jesus said, but very little that's been said about him. Very little that's been said about him. You see? Much different, isn't it? So you don't have to argue. I watch those evangelists just to see their interpretation of the Bible. Well, the interpretation of the Bible can go on any which way you want it to. They can make any point they want, those ministers. And, as I said before, they certainly do bring in the people, you see. You'll bring in the people if you tell them there's something wrong with them. Not one of those programs that I flick around to see says to the congregation, you are wonderful, you are marvelous. No. They say you are a sinner, you haven't done that right. Now we're going to teach you how to do it and correct it. But they constantly tell you there's something wrong with you, and then that you're not pleasing in the eyes of God. You're always pleasing to God. And the other thing is, God doesn't have any eyes, by the way. These are God's eyes, right here. And your eyes are God's eyes. But God itself does not have eyes. So, try to bring that in, to your thinking. I think we're afraid sometimes that maybe a lightning bolt will come down. If that were true, though, I'd be dead by now. We have to honor the different religions. Yes, absolutely, I believe in that. But I don't take them as absolute truth simply because somebody told me, or because it's in the Bible, or because it's been going on for 2,000 years. Christianity in 2,000 years has developed that many dogmas and that many core beliefs that it's to get through them all is something, you see. You have to be your own person. You have to know that you are a wonderful human being and that this thing called God is pleased with you. God is always pleased with you. So when you think anybody's not pleased with you, think of God. God's always pleased. And God happens to be more important than most of those other people. You're always the beloved in whom this thing called God is well pleased. Remember that. If the people that call me on the phone and say I just had a date with the worst man in the world would remember that they are the beloved in whom God is well pleased. It doesn't matter what the man did. But their core belief is, I can never find a decent man. You hear that constantly with people. There's no decent men out there. Look what they talk about men. You know, men are horrible. They do this, that. Oh, God. It's, you know, horrible. Horrible. Don't let that happen to you. Be nice to yourself and to whoever you're with. Be nice. That is the main thing. The other thing that I constantly think of is you have to be proud of yourself. You have to be proud of everything that's happened to you in your life and all the things that you've done in your life. Your mind will not make that so for you, because the mind likes to tell you all the bad things that you did and all the mistakes that you made. You have to sit down and make a list of all the wonderful things that you have done and be proud of yourself. There's nothing wrong with pride. Nothing wrong with pride. Be proud that you are a wonderful, divine expression of God. Be proud about that. And don't let it be outside. That's what happens. Everyone thinks that God is somewhere else and you're here. God is right here, right now. Right now, God is in this room, in this world, and in each and every one of us. And that's what we're always trying to find in people, isn't it? That divinity. And if you can't find the divinity, try to look for niceness in people. Niceness in people. When I was 18 years old, I lived with an Italian family, the Brindisi's. And Mrs. Brindisi used to say to me, Dallas, you have to remember, there's always enough good in people to cover up the bad. Always enough good in people to cover up the bad. And we must look for the good. Because when we look for the good in people, we not only find it, it multiplies in that person. You see? That's all that person needed, was for you to recognize them for who they are. To recognize them for who they are. Mary Baker Eddy, founder of religious science, which is still around. If you see her churches, just keep going. She's a very good practitioner. And they ask her what, and she was the healer. That's back when they actually, people healed. And they said, how do you do that? She said, well, when a person comes forward to see me, I don't see the illness. I don't see any of that stuff. She said, what I see is a person coming towards me to be recognized. To be recognized as a divine human being, and to be recognized as whole and complete and perfect. And even when people don't, that appearance isn't there, you have to remember that person's whole and complete and perfect. Something may be happening right now, but you have to maintain that. You have to recognize that person. Most people, all they want in life is to be recognized, you know, hello and all this. To remember somebody's name. To remember somebody's name is one of the most important things you can learn in life. Doors will open constantly if you remember people's names. I think they teach that at Stanford University in the business school. Learn the person's name. Recognize them. Make them feel important. Make them feel divine. And you will learn from that. So every time you do it, it helps you. Not only them, it helps you when you recognize somebody as whole and complete and perfect. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to go through life, learning all these things. So this is just another lesson in learning. And one of the things about core beliefs, if you heard it before, if you've never heard it, there is such a thing as core beliefs, or guiding beliefs. And that's backed up now by psychology and psychiatry and all. They know that that happens. They've come a long way with the brain and realizing how it works, you see. And that's what we're learning, isn't it? How our brain works. That we're the master of that brain. But that brain is not us. It's ours to use. It's ours to use the same way your computer on your desk is yours to use. It's not you, is it? You see, that's what the brain is. It's not you, but there it is, and we listen to it. The brain loves to convince you that it is you. Do not let your brain tell you those things, you see. You are not your brain. Your brain is yours to use. So learn to use it. So this is a little tool or technique, whatever you want to call it, when you're working with your mind. What is my belief? What is my core belief going on here? Do I say I'll never have money, I'll never be rich, and then go out and try to make money and so forth? It won't work. You have to know you're already rich. You have to know that and start from that premise. I am rich. I am rich beyond my greatest imagination. Money flows to me from every corner of the universe. So you have to do that. That's a core belief, that money is hard to find, that money, you have to work hard to get money. Tons of people have never worked in their life and have tons of money, you see. But we used to believe that, didn't we? What was the other thing in my generation? Get a good education, get a good job. That doesn't hold true anymore. That does not hold true. Helps a great deal, but there's no guarantee. There used to be a guarantee, didn't there? You got a good education, you get a good job. That's down the tubes now. So things change, and we must learn to change with them. And I think we're all learning to do that. We're learning to change, and that's all life is about. Learning to change. Don't get stuck anywhere. When you look back at the past and get stuck in it, what happens? You turn to salt. Remember Lot's wife, when she looked back, she turned to salt. Metaphysically, that means when you're going forward and looking behind you all the time, you solidify the thinking, the mind, and it starts to crystallize because you're not going in any direction. So you turn to salt. That's all that means in the Bible. She didn't really turn to salt, you know. But your thinking does crystallize if you don't keep it working. If you don't work on it, it will not hold up. So it's core beliefs that are driving you. And what is your core beliefs? You see, many people say, I will never get that. Well, that's a horrible core belief, isn't it? I'll never get what I want. You see, I hear people say that, or I have never gotten what I want. Well, if you haven't gotten what you want, it has to be what you're thinking. It has to have something to do with your thinking. And that thinking can be changed at any time. And your core beliefs can be changed. It doesn't matter how long you've had them. I had horrible things in my thinking, but I worked on them. I used to go to a gym, and they had an indoor track, and I just keep running around that track, changing my mind about things, you see, till my mind would accept that fact that, yes, Dallas, you're changing, and you must change people. And it's not hard. It's not that difficult. Why people think it's so difficult is beyond me. Make it fun. I make my life fun. I make my thinking fun. I notice what I'm thinking. I have become a witness to my thinking. And I can say to it, oh, stop that. That is not what I want to think. And then I replace it with a thought that I want in my mind. So you could make a nice little game out of it. And you don't punish yourself about it at all. You say, you don't punish yourself. You accept that and you say, ha, look what I can do. Look what I can do. And we can do anything, people. We really, truly can. But we must learn to accept that. And I wish more institutions would teach that concept, that we can do and have and be anything we want. That is what we are here for. That is why we were created, you see. So we can do it. You can do it. So you can take the misery out of your life. You can take all the other stuff out that I see people going through, the drama and all that, and do something with it. You know, I have Filipino relatives. They live in complete tragedy, those people. They look forward to tragedy. Do you remember Imelda Marcus, whatever her first name, and all her shoes and so forth, and then her and her husband got... Remember, she went back to the Philippines and she walked around in the inside of the church on her knees for penance, you know. And they put long black robes on, I think, and dragged them behind and all. That's their belief. That's their core belief carrying on there. You don't want that in your life, do you? I mean, I hope it worked for her. And it may have, since she believed in it. But doesn't work for me. Doesn't work for me. What works for me is trying to be nice to people all the time. Just be nice. I don't know what I can be spiritual, I can be this or I can do, but I can be nice. I can be nice. And I think that's what it's all about. Learn to be nice to yourself and to other people. See how simple it would be if people would just be nice. You'll say, we're not taught to be nice, are we? No, we may hear that every once in a while. Be nice, but you have to every day say, oh, I can be nice to these people. And sometimes it's difficult because I run into a lot of nitwits. But I make myself be nice to them. It helps me, too. It helps my thinking. It helps everything in my life. When I am nice to other people, I feel good inside. And that's what it's about, feeling good in here. So look at your core beliefs, figure out which ones are guiding you, and get rid of them. Get rid of them. And if you have one you can't get rid of, tell me and I'll help you get rid of it. It's that easy, that simple. Be nice to each other. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
And it was nice.
Thank you, Dallas.